interrupting your arrival into the capital region, we had this Eleazar Williams shooting that occurred, which was not on your watch, and yet now you're here, so it's part of the basket of things in your inbox that you have to deal with, and you met with Dr. Green. I know you said you were watching this from Michigan before you came here, lock, stock, and barrel. What's your assessment of the situation now, and what do you see going forward, some sort of policy or procedure to try and ensure that this doesn't happen again, that there's more communication between the police and the people and Ellis Green and all that?
I saw that communication was a key piece of it. We did a great job. First of all, the investigators in the Albany Police Department did a great job investigating the issue. Commander Basil, who was serving as an acting chief at that time, did a great job of managing the situation. I think going forward, we need to look at communicating and how we communicate, the timing of the communication, the substance of the communication when we have issues like this. It's important for me as a police chief to really bring the sides together, because it's very easy when you have issues like this that are emotionally charged to have your community and your police department that really start to work against each other in a situation like this, and it really exacerbates things. I have to serve almost as a mediator in things like this, because I'm seeing it from both sides. I'm hearing it from both sides. I hear the pain and the frustration from members of the community who are looking at this from a historical perspective and as it pertains to law enforcement and certain members of our community. I hear the frustration from my officers, you know, officers that I've worked with for almost three decades. Not these officers, but being in law enforcement for that amount of time. And I know the dedication and commitment of police officers, and I know what they do and how it impacts our officers and the law enforcement profession in general when you have officers who are genuinely trying to do the right thing. And in fact, in a lot of cases, in most cases, do the right things and have criticisms from the outside about some of those things. And so I've got to kind of bring those two sides together so that we can kind of see, so that the two sides can kind of see and appreciate the challenges that the other sides have. And in that way, as we move forward, we can work a lot better in terms of resolving the issues and some of the underlying issues that are associated with these sorts of things.
The state police ride-along program, how's that going? Are they still riding along with officers, and how is that working out?
Well, they still are, and it's not every night, and it's certain nights, and we have two or three troopers that ride with different officers throughout a shift. And I think it's a great partnership. I think it's a great way of agencies working together and sharing resources and information and skills and tactics in order to resolve issues in the community. One thing that's great about it is that the state police understands that they're not policing the city of Albany. What they're doing is assisting Albany police officers and assisting the members of the community in helping to resolve some things that are occurring and preventing other things from occurring in the community. It's a great community relations tool for the state police because now the community and the local police officers understand that there are partners at the state level. And they have fact of the matter is the state police has an incredible amount of resources and to help with local municipalities like Albany. And so I think it's a great thing. It's been working out great. When I talk to the officers and the commanders about it, they all say that the partnership is working wonderful, and they hope to see this continue for some time.
Has anything about Albany, good or bad, surprised you since you arrived here?
I was surprised at how hard it is to find juice bars in Albany. I always had a bunch of them around the area I was in. Mediterranean restaurants, I'm having a hard time finding those around. But, it's not a whole lot surprised me. I knew it was a very diverse community. I know it's when you have a capital city, there's a great deal of energy and action that's happening in that type of community. Just some preliminary research, I knew geographically that, the city itself was diverse. You have rural areas, you have the city type areas, you have urban type environments. And so not a lot has really surprised me, but what I've been pleasantly surprised with is that everyone I've met no matter where, in what setting that I've met them, they've been very, very welcoming and very, very accommodating and looking forward to working with me and having me work with them in order to make things better. And so it's been a pleasant experience so far.
We have a new year coming up. You're going to be doing some planning for the police department. I believe yesterday when the mayor gave her budget presentation, she pretty much said, I don't know if these were her exact words, but she said she's kind of like leaving the police department budget alone. So you can like structure things the way you want. What are your plans for the year to come? What would you like to see happen within the Albany Police Department?
Well, first, I need to solidify the executive command structure in the police department. As many of your listeners know, after the chief retired and left, the deputy chief assumed the acting chief role. And the deputy chief rank at that time was vacant. And then the acting chief, who was actually the deputy chief, retired. And so there was no chief, there was no deputy chief. And so I came in as chief, and I don't have any second in command. And so first thing, and one of the things I've been doing right now is I've been getting out and working with the community and learning the officers, learning the community, learning the people in the city, is trying to figure out exactly who will be in some of those critical positions in the police department. And I'll have so the upper command structure will look like a chief and two deputy chiefs. And then I'll have the third layer will be commanders that will flow off those deputy chiefs. And so right now I'm assessing and evaluating the talent, you know, in the police department. And I need deputy chiefs, that second layer in the police department, who share my philosophy of working with the community in order to resolve issues. Also working with the police department, the members of the police department, to ensure that our officers and our non-sworn personnel feel valued, that they understand that there's opportunity, to create an environment where everyone within that police organization feels that they can contribute and that their skills can be maximized, and that in general they feel valued, so that they go out and they're treating our community the same way. And I see some great opportunities. I will be restructuring the other parts of the police department to make sure that we're operating as efficiently as we can, and it's a great opportunity for the members of the police department, sworn and non-sworn, to get involved in this. It'd be a very participatory type process where a cross-section of employees and personnel in the police department will all be able to get involved with this and have input and influence with it. And so it's an exciting time. It's an exciting time for me. It's an exciting time for the members of the police department. They see that there's great opportunities.